my name is Clara Doss, and I'm a sophomore at Fleming Island High School. I love our student ministry so much, and I serve as a leader in our 5-6 ministry. Have you ever had a moment when you thought to yourself, how did I get here? Maybe you found yourself somewhere you knew you shouldn't be, made a decision you knew wasn't great, or suddenly had to face a consequence of a situation that got you in trouble. No matter what it was like you had a moment of clarity when you found yourself thinking, how did I get here? So a couple years ago, I had this friend. Her and I were both the new kids at school, and we instantly clicked. But as time went on and we grew into better friends, I became jealous of a friendship of her and a friend that I had at the time. I felt really left out, and what I should have done was communicate with her how I felt in a loving and kind way, but instead, I was so insecure and angry that I said some really hurtful things. So I wrote her a note, and I put it in her locker. Yeah, I know. That is embarrassing, but in no way did that help the situation at all. After that, we exchanged texts back and forth, and she ended up telling me that she did not want to be friends anymore. We were both very hurt, and looking back on it, it was more my fault than it was hers. After that, it was really awkward, and it sparked so much drama that I did not want to deal with. In the time following that, I found myself asking, how did this happen to me? I'm sure I could think of a million other stories that pretty much go the same way. Me doing something and then wondering how I ended up in that place. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe you got caught up in gossiping about someone and they found out what you said. Maybe you spent money that you shouldn't have and didn't discuss it with your parents or spouse until after they found out. Maybe you did something selfish that created a big hurt between you and someone you love. No matter what that decision was, chances are you've asked yourself this question at one point or another. How did this happen to me? And honestly, that's a pretty normal response. We all tend to see our bad decisions as something that has happened to us. We were the victim. It's like we were just living our lives until we found ourselves in a bad situation, totally clueless about how we got there. Think about it. What's the last bad decision that you made? I'm not asking you to raise your hand and share, but think of it in your mind. Maybe you knew what was wrong while you did it, maybe you didn't. The point is, you got caught, got in trouble, maybe you got lectured or kicked off the team or fired or exposed or punished or even embarrassed. Whatever it was, you thought, how could this happen to me? But here's the deal. The common denominator in all of my choices is me. The reality is that most of the bad choices we make don't just happen to us. We happen to them. We aren't just innocent bystanders. We are participators. Now, this might be part of the message where we think, where we tell you to make bad choices or have better behavior. But you can relax, it's not. Although those are good ideas for your life, we want to help you look at one of the things that contributes to making bad decisions over and over again, your friends. Now, I want to go back to you and tell you what I shared about my friend from earlier and tell you the end of the story. We did not speak for months and totally avoided each other. And when the next school year came around, I was put right next to her in our Latin class. You must be kidding. As I was forced to see her every day, I felt very convicted to own my part in our conflict. Finally, the Lord gave me the courage to humble myself and apologize an entire year later. She took it well, and we started to repair our friendship. To this day, we are still good friends, and she is such a good influence in my life. I think it is so important to surround ourselves with friends that are God's friends. And I know that I have benefited so much from surrounding myself with people who also know God and can hold me accountable. I am so grateful to have a godly friend like her to point me back to Jesus. Did you know that God has something to say about our friendships? I want to invite my good friend Jordan to tell us more about what God says in his word about our friendships.
Hello, church family. My name is Jordan. I'm a senior at Fleming Island High School. I love the community here, and I serve as a small group leader in our 5-6 ministry. When it comes to our, friends, we want the people who are closest to us to be real friends. We want the people who know us the best to be people we can trust. Why? Because those are the people who influence us the most, whether we realize it or not. Today we're talking about influence, and more specifically, the power of influence our friends have over us. Now companies spend millions of dollars per year in advertising just to influence us, which may be conscious or subconscious to us. This directly correlates to our friends and the influence they have on us. We may realize and be conscious towards it, but a majority of the time, it's subconscious, which is why we have to surround ourselves with people that have a godly influence. There's a book in the Old Testament of the Bible called Proverbs that speaks to the importance of deciding which friends you let influence your decisions. And this book has some of the best advice you'll hear on just about any topic. A man named Solomon is credited for writing a majority of it, and he was the king of Israel during a really prosperous time. Not only that, he was known to be the wisest person who ever lived, which means we can trust his advice when it comes to our friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, "There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother." He also states in Proverbs 12:26, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." Just to ensure we're all on the same page, what does righteous mean? To simply put it, it means the people who do the right thing. It's about being a good decision maker. It's about people who make choices that take their future and the best interests of others into account. We want to be righteous people who make right decisions for our future. Then what does Solomon say we need to do? We need to choose our friends carefully. Righteous people pay attention to who their friends are because they know they need friends who are just as invested in their future as they are. They need friends who will help them stay righteous. Righteous people choose friends who will help them make the kind of decisions that take their future into account and think about the best interests of others. They choose friends who will help them make right decisions. It doesn't mean that if you have a friend who doesn't always make the best choices, you just drop kick them out of your life. No, I'm just saying that you should take a look at the people who are closest to you and who you spend the most time with and ask yourself, are they leading you to a future you're proud of? Or a future you don't want any part of. Understand that in school or on a team or at work, you can't always choose the kind of people who are around you. Can't always control who has the same class schedule as you. Can't always control who's on your team. Can't choose every single person you hang out with all the time. Even if you're desperate just to have one friend, you should still know that you will have friends one day. Learning now how to choose the kind of friends that are best for you will benefit you later, saving you from a lot of potential pain. Now, I moved from Colorado a little over a year ago, and I thank God that this has happened, and it has truly changed my life. I love my friend group there, but with them, I was becoming short-sighted. Didn't always have my future on my mind. They wanted drugs and sex, and they didn't have Jesus on the forefront of their mind. With them, I started to think, hey, that's not that bad, or is one time really that harmful? Even though I didn't want any of that for myself. Thankfully, moving drove me away from those things before I could do something I would later on regret. But that friend group is vastly different than the one I have here, which is people like Ella Rodriguez, who usually serves on Sundays in the tech booth, Stephanie Queen, who did the announcements a couple weeks ago, Aiden Thomas, who served our student ministry as an intern this summer, and Wilson Medina, a friend in our student ministry that encourages and challenged me to grow in my faith. All of them, and so many others that I didn't mention, all lead me in the right direction. They influence me to make the right decisions, and we lead each other to Jesus no matter what, and I couldn't be more grateful. So whether you feel powerless in choosing the friends you have or desperate for any friend at all, it's important to remember this. Real friends have real influence. So make sure you have the right kind of people influencing you long term. Have you ever noticed that you speak the same way as your closest friends? Not even realizing it, you may start to dress like your closest friends. Sometimes you even start to think like your closest friends, just like I did. The influence they have on your life is undeniable. That's why Solomon wanted us to choose them carefully. Because real friends have real influence in more ways than one. Look back one more time at what Solomon said. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. When Solomon says wicked, he basically means the opposite of righteous. He's talking about the bad decision makers, people who lead us toward trouble, people who aren't thinking through how their decisions will impact their future or the people around them. Think about now and themselves, that's it. Like my friends in Colorado, who aren't making the greatest of decisions. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but they're short-sighted. And if you want a future you can be proud of with the fewest amount of regrets, you're going to need people around you who see more than right now. Solomon also says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Your closest friends have the potential to influence your life one way or another. Their voices have the potential to lead your life in all kinds of directions. Think about it. Have you ever found yourself more willing to think a certain way or do something just because your closest friends are doing it, even if it goes against what you believe or what you would do on your own? Solomon said, when we let the influence of the bad decision makers into our lives, it will lead us somewhere we don't want to go. When we have a friend whose bad decisions are leading us away from our good decisions, that's trouble. When we have a friend whose actions don't take their future into account, that's trouble. When we have someone around us whose decisions don't have the best interests of others in mind, that's trouble. And trouble leads to trouble. Sometimes we look at our closest friends and think, yeah, they're making some bad decisions, but they're a good person. And that may be true. But I think the better question to ask when it comes to our friends isn't whether this friend is a good person or not. No, it's this. Is this person a good influence on me right now? The answer might be no right now, but it doesn't have to be no forever. And if it is, it doesn't mean that you never interact with them again. It just means that you interact with them differently. You change how much influence they have on you. Before I go, I'd like to say one more thing. Everything that's been said so far doesn't just apply to friends or even people who are younger. It applies to everyone in any stage of life and those who are close to us. My father, who turns 39 in a couple months, used to work at a Christian Brothers Automotive in Colorado. Before that time, he was a Christian, but he wasn't anywhere near where his faith is today. It was his coworkers, and reading the Bible in the mornings with them, or having small groups that transformed him. I watched my dad, who didn't make an effort to go to church or even pick up a Bible, then go and pray over large groups and give my family Bibles so we may know God's word more. He surrounded himself with people in the faith and continues to do so to this day, so he may grow stronger in his faith. I thank God and my father for this as he brought my whole family closer to Jesus. I'd like to introduce my good friend Reagan up next to talk about how what we just talked about in God's word applies to our lives.
RCC. My name is Reagan Punsky. I'm a sophomore at Fleming Island. I serve here as a girls' small group leader for our 5-6 ministry, and I'm a part of our student ministry here. Clara and Jordan have done such a great job talking about the difficulties that we can walk through in our life, and if we aren't careful about who we spend our time with. So here's what I'm telling you to do with all of this. Guard your inner circle. Look at the friends you're closest to. Think about who is the most influence on your life right now. Are they making the right decisions, or will their choices lead you astray? I want us to actually take time to do this. Think of the different layers of friendships that you have. You have your best friends, your good friends, and then the people you hang out with. Three different levels of friendships. Or you can think of it like circles. And if we think of it like circles, we're in the center. And the first circle around us represents our closest friends. And beyond that, our best friends. And then our last circle is our good friends. And the widest circle is the circle of people farthest away from us, our general friends. Now, this is where social media can come in. What we watch on our phone, computer, and TV can make us feel a certain way and influence us. What we're putting into the search bar is what's going to come out. Make sure you're choosing carefully what you allow yourself to see. Look at your screen time. Every hour you spend on your phone could be another hour getting into the Word. Jesus had that same kind of pattern with his own friendships. When we read the New Testament, we can see that he had different levels of friendships among his friends and followers. He had huge crowds that followed him. That was one circle. But Jesus also had 12 disciples who he spent a lot of time with. That was another circle. Jesus also had 3 of those disciples whom he was closest to, and that was his inner circle. Think of it this way. These 3 circles represent your circles of friends. The circle closest to you, that's your inner circle. Those are your 2 or 3 very best friends. They should be your most righteous friends. They should lead you towards making the best decisions for your future. Why? Because they're going to be the people whose voices have the most influence over you. And like Solomon said, you want to guard your inner circle. In the middle circle are your good friends. They're the people in your larger friend group that you spend time with on a regular basis. You choose to spend time with them, and they still have an influence on your life, but just not as much as your inner circle. In the furthest circle are the people you hang out with. They're the friends you spend time with every now and then, but don't have a major influence on your life. Maybe you work with them, or even they're in your small group. You like being around them and enjoy hanging out, but because they're not as close to you, their influence doesn't have as much as an impact. So when we think of it like this, we want to make sure to guard our inner circle. We want to make sure that the people who have our most influence on your life are the people who should have the most influence on our life. So look at the friends you're closest to and ask yourself, what kind of influence do they have on me right now? If the answer isn't good, it might be time to move them to a new circle. Not necessarily forever, but at least for now, while they have the potential to lead you away from what's righteous in your life. Remember, to guard your inner circle, because they're the friends who have the most influence on your life than any others. So make sure that the people closest to you are helping you make the wisest choices and setting you up for the best future possible. This is what's said in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. 2 are better than one because of their great return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. This is why it's so important to have people in our life. We are imperfect people, and we need people in our lives to hold us accountable and help us when times get difficult. Not only that, we should be the type of friends that help others and pick them up when they need it. Who we are in Christ will shape the people around us. And if we're not careful, we can be hurting our friends too. So remember that by guarding our inner circle, we're also guarding our faith. Now I'm going to invite Pastor Travis to come out and close our message.
These students done an amazing job this morning. Incredible. Incredible. And I hope that you have been challenged by their message, right? It's a simple message. Watch who your friends are because you are who your friends are, right? That's an easy thing for us to understand. But I want to help us with an action step by telling you a story. Okay, so many years ago, Aaron and I wanted to go on an extended vacation. And we asked some college students from the church that we were at if they would watch our house and take care of everything while we were away. And which is one of the benefits of being a student pastor is that you have all these, you know, students that become college students and they're responsible, right, because they're Christians and they can watch your stuff while you're gone. So we had them watching the house. We took the vacation, but I went like full OCD, like full nerd, and I made like a whole book on how to manage the house, the whole thing, right? It had like tab dividers by section in the book on like, okay, house plants. First section, outdoor house plants. These are the ones that need watered daily. These are the ones that need watered weekly. These are the ones that don't need water or they'll die. Here are the nutrients for the outdoor. And then we go to the indoor plants, right? And like this one gets shifted by like 10 degrees every third day. You know, like it was like
everything is in the book. How to take care of the fish, what day the trash goes out to the street, where the trash bags are, right? Where the water shutoff valve is, just in case a pipe breaks while we're gone. You don't have to freak out. It's all in the book, okay? Everything's here. How to take care of the dog, you know, like how the dishwasher works and where the refill tablets and the like jet dry stuff is. Everything's in the book. If you have a question, it's right here in the book. So Aaron and I go on our vacation, and I don't worry about the house at all because we have responsible students, right? And they have the book. Any question that they have, it's in the book. So we enjoy our vacation, and there's a part of me that's like, oh, I should call. And no, I'm not gonna call. They have the book. Right? So we get home after like a month, and we meet the students at the house to like, you know, talk about how it went and get the keys and give them some money for watching the house. And then we walk up to the front door, and I notice the two plants in the pots by the door are just dead. I was like, oh, great. Okay. Did we get like section 2 outdoor plants mixed up with section 3 indoor plants? Like, I wonder what went wrong here. So I like looked at the students and I was like, hey, y'all read the book, right? And they're like, oh, we love the book. The book is incredible. Anything you need an answer to, it's right here in the book. And I was like, okay, great. All right, so then we go in the house, and the first thing I notice is that the trash can by the kitchen counter is like overflowing with trash, and it's been like that for so long that there's like maggots in the trash, and it smells terrible. Yeah, it's awful. So I look, and I'm like, hey, chapter 5, section 2 talks about trash day. It talks about where the extra trash bags are, where the trash can deodorizer is. I mean, it's all in the book, right? So like, did you guys read the book? And they were like, oh, we love the book. The book is incredible. It tells you exactly where the trash bags are, where the trash goes when it goes outside, and the day that it goes to the street, and the best time to pick it up before, like, the wind blows the trash cans into the ditch, and then they get all messy, right? It's all in the book. And I was like, great. And then I look around, and I see the fish bowl, and the fish is no longer a fish in the bowl. It's like gel at the top of the bowl. It's been dead so long. And I was like, poor fish. I look at the plants on the mantle and on the fireplace and by the back windows, everything perfectly placed to get the right amount of light, and they're all dead. They're all dead. And I was like, hey, how often did you read the book? And they're like, oh, let me tell you. We read this book so often. Here's what we did. We actually got our friends together. And every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8, we brought people to your house, and we sat around in a circle and we said prayers. And then we read excerpts from the book, and we talked about how this really matters to our lives. If we just did these things in our lives, we would have incredible lives. And I was like, okay, great. So how's the dog? And they said, you have a dog? And I said, yes. His name is Numbers. It's chapter 7. And they said, nobody reads Numbers. Okay, Bible joke. I'm glad like 4 people got it. Good. Okay, so obviously this story is made up, but like it's indicative of our lives. We have a book, right? We have a book that guides our lives, and it's not good enough for us to just read it. Right, the wisdom that our students gave us this morning, this practical wisdom of we need to watch the influences that we allow to make an impact on our lives is an important wisdom. But if we don't do something about it, if we don't put legs on it, if we don't walk it out in our life and actually take an action step, then we're studying the book, but killing what God gave us. Right, we're not managing it well unless we take action. Let me read you what Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, but it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. All right, so what are we doing if we're studying but not living? All right, if we get together on Sunday mornings and during the week on Sunday evenings and we talk about why our faith matters, but we don't live lives of faith, then I think it's all for naught. Right, so even when, this is my challenge to us this morning, is that this truth, this challenge that our students have given us to watch our influences, Both the people that we let around us in our inner circles and the things that we take in on our screens or on our televisions or online or wherever, those things matter, and we need to guard our influences, right? Guard our inner circle. So I want to challenge you with a couple of specific things that I think everybody in the room can do this week to walk out or put legs on instead of just talking about it, to do something about it. Try it out with me, okay? So the first challenge is this. Are you being wise with your screen? Are you being wise with your screen? Okay, so there's a couple of different things to talk about when it comes to screens. First is distraction. So our screens, as Regan said, can distract us from what God actually wants us to be accomplishing in our life, right? Connecting with our family or connecting with our friends or doing the things that we want to do. What Regan said, are we spending time in God's word or are we spending time getting lost in our screens? And I'm just as guilty of this as anyone else. I love reels and they totally have the algorithm pegged when it comes to me, right? It's the perfect mix of like mechanic video fails, dog videos, Jesus, and a little bit of like hunting and fishing. And every time I scroll to the next video, I'm like, oh, this is amazing. They know me so well. Who is putting the, and it's there to get me addicted to that, right? To get me to, instead of connecting with my wife, instead of connecting with my friends, instead of doing the things that lead me to have a well-managed life, all the wise things that God wants me to do, they want to get me addicted. Same thing with our televisions, the next episode, the next episode, the next episode, or the next news story that's going to, you know, keep us captivated, keep us in fear, keep us watching instead of doing the best things. So are we being wise with our screens? Here's what I want to challenge us all to do, especially when it comes to our phones. I want to challenge us to put screen time limits on our phones. And this is something that I've done for years, and I actually started this with our students here. Actually, I asked my wife to do it the first time, and she forgot the passcode to my phone, and I was completely locked out of everything. I had to like reset my iCloud. It was like awful experience. So, because of that, I didn't want to do it again because it was inconvenient. But then we were sitting around with students and we were talking about the level of influence that our screens have on us. And it was in a place where I was like, okay, yeah, we just have to do it. So I handed my phone to a junior in our student ministry and said, okay, set my password. And turn the adult content filter on, not because I struggle with that, but because locks keep honest people honest, right? It's a good thing for us to all have content filters on our home Wi-Fi and content filters on our phone. So go ahead and set that for me as well. But then set my limit, set 15 minutes of social media every day, that's all I want, 15 minutes. 15 minutes of the news, that's all I want. Because I want to be spending time with my family, be spending time with my Lord, and doing the things that are going to give me a good life instead of a wasted life. So here's my challenge for you. Before you go to bed tonight, hand your phone to somebody who loves you. It could be at lunch today so that you can talk about how to get this done. But hand your phone to somebody who loves you and ask them to put a screen time limit on it. Limit me, you know, if you're my screen time said I was on my phone for like, I checked it this morning, I was on my phone for an average of 4 hours a day, an average of an hour of social media a day, because here's the thing, I have screen time limits on my phone, but a while ago I asked that student, and we were traveling, and I needed to look up something, and the only way that I could for the restaurant we wanted to go to was on their Facebook page, so I was like, hey, can I have my password so I can look at this restaurant, and then I knew my password and conveniently did not tell them to change it again. So instead of that 15 minutes, it's been more because I know my password. So before today is up, I'm going to hand my phone to somebody who loves me, and I'm going to say, hey, would you set my passcode for me so that I'm limited in the amount of time that I can waste looking at cute dog videos and car repair fails. So are you being wise with your screen? The second thing that I want to challenge us on, the second thing that I want to put legs on is something that our students have already challenged you with. It's, are your best friends God's friend? Are your best friends God's friend? Do the people that you spend the most time with, do they spend time with God? And this is a really easy thing for us as adults, right? Jordan mentioned this, that this isn't just a student thing. It is a student thing. Students, this is really wise. And it's something we talk about in our student ministry all the time. But adults, this is really wise, and it's something that we don't talk about enough, right? Are our best friends God's friend? People that we hang out with at work or after work, or the people that we've hung out with for the last, you know, 20 years when they call, is that person a good influence on me? Do they have my faith in mind when we spend time together? I want to challenge you by asking you that question. Are your best friends God's friend? And students, if you're here and you're like, yeah, I don't know how to find new friends that are God's friend, or I don't really have relationships with friends, then the best place for a student to find that is in our student ministry. So tonight from 5 to 7, we'll have a ton of students that come up here, and they're going to be playing games and laughing with friends and in small groups where they're talking about why their faith matters around groups of students their own age and gender. It's going to be amazing, and it happens every week, and it's a great place for students for you to come and meet friends and make sure that those friends are walking out their faith alongside of you. But adults, that can be a little harder, right? But lucky for you, we have life groups. And every week, all over town, in living rooms and in this building, there are people that are getting together and chasing the way of Jesus in their life. Adults, just like you, that want to live in the way of Jesus, that want to lead their families in wisdom, in biblical wisdom. Okay, so adults, the best place for you to go to find relationships that are focused on God is in our life groups. And there's a life group wall out in the atrium, and it tells you all of the groups and when they meet and what night of the week. There's going to be a group that's convenient for you to go to. And if there's not, then you can help us start one that would be convenient for you to go to, because somebody else will need that time as well. But the best place to find people who are seeking after God is in a life group. So I want to challenge you, if you haven't tried one out, to go grab a card and send an email that says, okay, I'm going to try a life group. And we'll get you connected with that leader. That leader will reach out to you so that you've at least had a phone conversation with somebody before you show up at their house and knock on their door. But we want your best friends, the people that you spend the most time with, to be God's friend. I love that God put this message on our students' hearts months ago. When we asked them, students, what do you want our congregation to be challenged with? They said, this is the most important thing for all of us. That the people that we put ourselves around are God's people. All right, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Are your best friends God's friend? Let me pray over us. God, I'm so thankful for our students. I'm thankful for their hearts and for the way that they've been challenged to live out their faith by choosing people to be around that are your people. And God, I thank you for this wisdom that they have given us today. And I pray that we don't just talk about it. God, I pray that we don't just go another week with the same pattern and the same routine and the same number of hours spent on our devices or spent watching TV or spent watching the news. God, I pray that we take action to be more like the image of Jesus. God, I pray that we take action to be your people. God, I pray for the person in this room that doesn't want to give up, the person that's sitting with closed hands or closed fists and they're holding on to that relationship or that friendship that they know is not good. God, I pray for the person that's holding on to what they're watching on their screens that nobody knows about. And I pray that they can open their hands and open their hearts to you. God, I pray that they can take a step when we stand to sing and come up and talk with our prayer team and receive prayer over how they need to change and that they can get plugged in to a positive community. God, we want to walk in the wisdom and the way of Jesus today. You've given us everything that we need to know, everything that we need to do. So God, I pray that we put legs to it and that we walk in you today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.